down at some other verses. Matthew's Gospel, the 15th chapter. That'll be on page 1020 and 1021 of your King James Scofield Bible. Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said to him, When should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. Let's bow in prayer together, please. Father in heaven, it's been a good service, and I've had blessings, and I trust our folks have. And I pray you'll help me to be a blessing with the preaching of your word. I ask once again that you might bind Satan from our minds and from our midst. I pray you'll keep our minds from wandering on other activities that may be planned and concentrate on the preaching of your word. Save those who are lost, reclaim those who are backslidden. And Lord, there's many, many needs among our people here today. And I pray you'll meet those needs. Take this message and help with the needs. Thank you for the privilege of preaching your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, broken loaves. Here in the 15th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we have the story of the feeding of the 4,000. For 3 days, the crowds had been following the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. They had been listening to his gracious words that fell from his beloved lips. Eventually, however, their stomachs began to grumble because they had not eaten for 3 days. They probably had some food, but by now most of it was eaten and most of it was gone, and they were getting pretty hungry. A hungry crowd does not make the best kind of an audience for a preacher to get his message across to them. If I started preaching this morning around 10:30, and I go to noon, and I keep on going, and I get up to close to 1 o'clock, I've lost most of you except Virginia Buck, and she'd want me to go all afternoon. Besides, your mind would be turning to eating lunch, and you'd be more concerned about your stomach's needs than you would your heart's needs. Now, the Lord could have caused it to rain manna from heaven to feed those hungry people. He could have turned the stones into bread, or he could have sent some ravens into town to McDonald's and pick up some food and bring it out to them. Would any of you like about a Big Mac now and fries and a chocolate shake? Let's just go and get one, won't you? Oh, hold on just a minute. Wait till I'm finished, would you? Most of the time, God doesn't work that way, though. So he said to his disciples, you give them something to eat. Well, they were shocked. Notice their reply in verse number 33. And his disciples said to him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? In other words, they were saying, Lord, how are we going to do that? You're asking us to do something that is totally impossible. We can't do it. So notice what he says, ask them in verse number 34. How many loaves have ye? Now, in the Chase paraphrase, it is saying, Lord, we brought just enough food for we disciples. Others' families brought food for themselves. We thought the service was going to start at 10 o'clock, and surely it would be over by 11 o'clock. We didn't think you would go that long in preaching. And by the way, we Baptists, when we start at 10 o'clock and get out by 11 o'clock, then we Baptists, we can get out to Texas Roadhouse before the Methodists and the Lutherans and the Catholics. And isn't that the reason we start at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30, 11 o'clock, so we can beat everybody at the restaurants? So the law says, all right, give me what you have. And as he always does before eating, and as you and I should do before eating, not act like a bunch of pigs, he prayed and asked God's blessing upon the food. Look at verse number 36. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. He took the food that the disciples had given to him. He had them pass out fish sandwiches to the people. And as they did, the food kept multiplying. And when everyone had eaten and were full, they were completely full. The Bible says 4,000 men plus the women and children, maybe 15 to 20,000 people or so. They had 12, seven baskets full left over. Look in verse number 37. Seven baskets full left over. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, seven baskets full. The bread had increased a hundredfold. When the disciples had given to the Lord all they had, he returned it back to them, seven baskets full left over. Dear folks, that is the kind of God that we have come to worship and praise and honor and glorify this morning. I wonder this morning, if I could see down into every one of your hearts, do you have some need? Do you have some great need this morning? Keep your finger there and turn with me to the right to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter 3, please. That'll be on page 1252 of your King James Scofield Bible. Ephesians 3, look at verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. When we ask God for something, he is able and can do far more than what you even ask him. What a promise is in this verse. Now, I think that this miracle was also a parable. You and I are also in a wilderness, as it were, a dry and thirsty land we live in. This old world that you and I live in can never satisfy the human heart. It's not big enough to do that. The heart of man was created for infinity. It was made to be the dwelling place of our infinite God. Only God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ can fill and satisfy the human heart. And because the human heart was made to embrace him. And because of that, nothing else can ever completely satisfy us. Someone has said that a round world can never fit into a triangular heart. There will always be corners that will remain empty. Maybe you've tried to make the world satisfy you, and yet this morning you sit here and there's still an emptiness down deep in your heart that longs to be satisfied, and you don't know what it is, and you don't know what to do, and you don't know how to try it. If you have tried all this world has to offer, and there's still an emptiness that longs to be satisfied, it will only be truly and everlastingly satisfied when the Lord Jesus Christ occupies his rightful place in your heart, and that comes through salvation. Keep your finger there and turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, the last book in the Bible, page 1334. Revelation 3, our Lord is speaking, and I want you to notice what he says in verse number 20 of Revelation chapter 3. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup or fellowship with him, and he with me." He says, if you'll just open up your heart's door, I'll come in. I'm not going to knock it down. You have to open it. You have to invite him to come in. And when you do, he says, I'll forgive your sins. I'll give you a home in heaven. I'll give you salvation. Only the triune God can fill and satisfy the heart of man. What a hungry world we do live in today. The lust for power, the millions spent in pursuit of pleasure. These are all vain attempts trying to answer the universal cry of the human heart that something is missing. To this poor, starving, dying world, notice what Jesus says. Go back to Matthew chapter 15 again with me and look at verse number 32 again, Matthew 15 and verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. What is this saying to you and me this morning? It is saying that we ought to have the same compassion our Lord had on this lost and dying world, and we ought to give them something to eat, and what this world needs to eat this morning is the blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What this world is hungering and thirsting for is the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread from heaven. He is the living water. If we just give him this lost world is searching for something. They're searching for the bread from heaven. They're searching for the living water. And you and I who have got it, we can give it to them. And if they will receive it, they'll never hunger or thirst again, for their spiritual needs will be met once and for all, and they'll never be the same again. I've never been the same since I opened up my heart and asked the Lord Jesus to come in. So many today are in bondage to the flesh and the world and the devil, and they need to be set free, and that freedom is only found in Jesus Christ. Keeping your finger in Matthew, go over to John chapter 8, please. John's Gospel, the 8th chapter, page number 1127. John chapter 8. And look with me at verse number 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Thank God for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Back in the Old Testament, God's people were in bondage. Would you go back to the front of the Bible to the book of Exodus, please? The book of Exodus, the 4th chapter, that's page 74. Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1, page 74 of your Scofield Bible. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. I don't blame him. I'd flee from any serpent that's around. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. I'm sure Moses, in the paraphrase, must have said, oh, Lord, hold on just a minute. I'm not going to take that thing by the tail. But he obeyed the Lord. He put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. When Moses told the Lord, Lord, how am I going to obtain freedom for your people? I don't know how I'm going to do that. And the Lord said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And Moses said, it's just a rod. It's an old dead walking stick. That's all that it is. And God said, Moses, if you'll give it to me, I'll give it back to you, and you'll be able to perform many supernatural miracles and set my people free. And Moses did, and God did. Jesus said to his disciples, what do you have in your hand? And they said, about 7 fish sandwiches. And he said, would you give them to me? And they did. He gave them back to them, and they fed maybe 20,000 people. He says to you and me this morning, what is that in your hand? And we answer, it's the Bible. It's the living word of God. It's God's love letter to us. And he says to us, that is enough. That is all you need. Now go and teach it and preach it and share it with others. Tell them of my love for them. Tell them I died for their sins. Tell them I shed my blood on the cross. Tell them I was buried. Tell them I was resurrected. And tell them I'm coming back again one day soon. If you will do this, I promise you, I will grow your church numerically and spiritually and financially. And God does that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. Back to the New Testament now. 2 Corinthians and the 8th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, page 1235. 1235 in your Scofield Bible, 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and look on or listen at verses 4 and 5. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take up on us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. The first thing God wants out of you this morning is you. And then if you give him what little you have in your hand and let him take it and break it and mold it and make it, he'll give it back to you, and then you can go and share it with others. The Lord says to all of us, what you give to me, I will increase it 100-fold. Let me show you a great promise that one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Luke chapter 6. Would you turn to the Gospel of Luke in the 6th chapter, please? That'll be on page 1081 of your Scofield Bible, 1081, Luke chapter 6. And the Lord is speaking, and I want you to look at verse number 38, Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Notice the first word, though. Before it shall be given unto you, you have to give first. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. When I take my morning breakfast bowl and fill it up with Wheaties, you say, why Wheaties? Because it's the breakfast of the champions, that's why. And I fill it up to the very brim of the bowl. And then I take my hands and I crush those flakes to tiny little flakes. Why you do that? To get more in the bowl. My wife saw me doing that one day, and she has a little measuring cup a half cup measuring cup, and she'll dip it into her cereal. And if there's one flake over the top, she'll put it out. Got to be exactly a half a cup of cereal. And she saw me doing that and said, what are you doing that for? I said, I'm following the scriptures. It said, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. She said, I don't think that's talking about filling your bowl with Wheaties, but I do. Dear folks, it's not what we have, but what we surrender to Christ that counts. But we can never give anything to this old starving world until we first of all have given ourselves to the Lord. Think of the world that we live in today. There are hundreds of millions of people, both Jews and Gentiles, who've not yet one time heard a simple presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross and paid sin debt and was raised from the dead and going back to heaven, coming back one day. They've never heard it. There's churches here in this city that's never heard it. There's people in this city by the thousands who've never heard it. Fainting and hungering out in the wilderness of this world, they're turning to religion and pleasure and sin and debauchery, trying to find something that will quiet their yearning, something that will satisfy you. Do you hear their cry? What does this world tell us to turn to? It says, turn to the theater or the liquor bottle or the drugs or the bright lights, and instead of curing your spiritual ills, it only gets worse. The emptiness increases. So they say, well, maybe I'll find the answer in the church. I'll go to church. And so they go to a church, and they go in and sit down, and the rock music's being played, and people going through all kinds of gyrations, and the pastor gets up, and he preaches a social gospel and says everybody's going to go to heaven one day. There's lots of roads, and everybody's going to take that one road, and it's just your good works and do good works and all this and that and the other thing. And they go out, and they're still empty. They're as empty as when they went in. They didn't give anything, and they're crying out, give us something to eat. The loaves of bread and a few fishes belonged to the disciples until Jesus needed them. The rod belonged to Moses until Jesus asked for it. The food belonged to the young child until Jesus asked him if he could use it. Will you give your loaves to him? Will you give him what he asked you to give, beginning with yourself? Your life as a believer in Jesus Christ no longer belongs to you. It belongs to him. Look at me in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, please. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Verses 19 and 20. That'll be on page 1217. 1217. 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're not your own anymore. If you're saved, you belong to him. Why do you? Verse 20. For you're bought with a price. That terrible price he paid on the cross of Calvary. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I have eaten from the 7 baskets full that were left over when I placed my life on the altar some 47 years ago. And I've never regretted it. They gave 7 loaves to the Lord that day. He returned 7 loaves back to them. I think most of us in this auditorium this morning, we believe that men and women and young people are lost, and without Christ, they're going to spend eternity in hellfire if they don't receive him as Lord and Savior. I think most of us believe that. And yet, tragically, we do little or nothing about it. I'm pleading this morning for some broken loaves, for broken hearts, broken men and women, broken young people, broken from their selfishness, broken from their lethargies, and go out of this place all out for God and go out to bring honor and glory and praise to him. Will you let him have what's in your hand? Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you. As he faced the cross, as he faced the sins of the whole world being put upon him, as he faced separation from his heavenly Father, as he faced desertion from his friends and family, he said, this is my body which is broken for you. That broken body was the result of sin, my sin and your sin and the sins of the whole world. If sin had not entered into this world, his body would not have had to be broken. And there would never have been any broken hearts or broken promises, or broken laws, or broken trusts, or broken marriages, or broken homes, or broken bodies, or broken spirits, or broken dreams, no bleeding and broken wounds. But God's love and compassion for all of us caused him to allow his only begotten Son to be broken so that the broken things of our lives might be pieced back together again. Some 2,000 years ago, he came and began a work of redemption, and it was potentially finished when he did his work and died on Calvary. But it awaits the consummation when he's going to put all things under his feet and make all things new. His body was broken, literally broken, when they scourged him, when they put the crown of thorns on his brow. It was broken when they drove the cruel nails through his hands and through his feet. It was broken when they pierced his side and water and blood came forth to testify the reality of his suffering as well as his death. Yes, dear folks, he was broken for us. Can you see him in that upper room, standing with the bread in his hands, and says to those at the table, "This is my body which is broken for you"? Now, he asks only that we be broken for him, that we break these earthen vessels and let his light shine through. Turn with me quickly to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans 12, page 1206 in your Scofield Bible. Romans chapter 12. Look at verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2, page 1206. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our Savior, our blessed Savior, asks that we give him our few loaves and fishes so that he may increase them, give them back to us in order that we can give them out to others. We cannot escape his command. Look at his command as recorded in Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter. This is a command that is meant for you and I today. That's on page 1069. Matthew 16, look at verse number 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He asked that we break up the loaves that we have carefully made for our own pleasure and give them to him. He will repair them, give them back to us so that we can do his pleasure. He asks us to take the alabaster box and break it and pour it over the head in some service for him. He asks that we abandon the ship of our own righteousness and throw ourselves at the mercy of him who hung on that old rugged cross. And we cannot be his until we're broken of self. We cannot be instruments of God until our hearts have been broken by penitence and our lives suffering. Claim the comfort of his promise, the promise that cannot be broken. What is that in your hand? Will you give it to him? That's all he asks. Will you give it to him? Have you ever given yourself to him for salvation? This old world is about to close down. And there's not much time. If you're here without Christ, you don't have much time in preparing to meet him, because you're going to do that. If you do not know him as Lord and Savior, we're going to give you the opportunity this morning to get that taken care of. Let's bow in prayer together, please. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for our precious Savior. We thank you for allowing him to come into this old, sinful, wicked world. We thank you for allowing him to be treated like no human being has ever been treated. We thank you for the sacrifice that he made for our salvation. How can we ever, ever thank you? But Lord, there may be some in a crowd this size that they've never accepted him as Lord and Savior. They don't know if they were to die, they'd go to heaven. I pray you'll help them to be convicted and make that decision before they leave this building. There's other of us that need to make decisions. We need to look out at this old world and have compassion on it like our Lord did. And we need to take the gospel to them before it is forever too late. We need to take it to our friends and our loved ones and our family and our co-workers. We need to take the gospel to a dying, sinful world. Help us to have compassion and help us to want to do that. Give us the encouragement to do so. Bless the invitation now as only you can do. Help folks make decisions they'll be glad they made 100 years from today. In Jesus' name, amen.